Well, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. It's Pastor Joshua M. Daniels of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, located at 1300 East 50th Street, Los Angeles, California, 90011. And I'm excited to share the word of the living God with you. Mount Zion is a church where change happens every week. And if you're ever in the Los Angeles area, we invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for a life-changing worship experience. You might come one way, but we promise you won't leave the same way you came. We pray that this message that you're getting ready to hear is going to be a tremendous blessing to your life. It's up from here. Today, I want to look at another installment, 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to read a lengthy passage today. I'm going to read verses 1 through 22. I know it's lengthy, but we ought to read the Bible, at least in church. And I'm committed to making sure that if you don't pick up the Bible again till next Sunday, you got a lot of scripture in you today. 2 Samuel chapter 6. So, Lord, it's preaching time again, and I'm in dire need of you. You know the frailties of my flesh, so I ask that you stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my tongue. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon me. Anoint me afresh and anew for the assignment at hand. Give your people listening ears and receptive hearts, but ultimately responsive lives. And Father, if any good things shall happen today, let no flesh be glorified and no humanity celebrated, but you take all of the glory. Just give us your divine blessings. Guess what I'm asking is simply this. Have thine own way in this place today. So in Jesus' name we pray, if you love the Lord, you ought to say amen. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm reading today from the New International Version of the Word of God. It may read slightly different from yours, but if your book says Bible, you're in good company. This is how, and I just noticed, I didn't tell nobody to stand up for the reading of the Word. I like this kind of church. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 6. David again brought together one of Israel's chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Baal of Judah. Bring up from there the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who was enthroned between the cherubim that are on the Ark. They set the Ark of the God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah had Ahod, the sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it. And Ahod was walking in front of it, and David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might. They having good church before the Lord with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Before God struck him down, and he died there beside the Ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And this to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, how can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord to be with him to the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went down and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and fattened a calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, he got on the priestly garment now, danced before the Lord with all his might. He and the entire house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, watched from the window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. And they brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. And he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person. and the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be honor, held in honor." Verse 23, my daddy would say, it's just waving at me. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Say amen for the reading. If you don't mind, for the time that was out together today, I want to tag this text with this thought in our minds. It's not the same without it. Find a neighbor to the left, to the right. If you don't like him, you shouldn't have said bamboo. It's too late now. And tell him, neighbor, it's not the same without it. Lift those hands towards heaven and say, "Lord, speak. We need to hear." You may be seen in the presence of our good and gracious God. It's not the same without. Ushers, you can take your seats. Thank you for serving so dutifully. It's not the same without it. Allow me to start off by saying that I am working now to develop new hobbies that have nothing to do with reading books or writing sermons. One of those hobbies that I have recently picked up is cooking. See, y'all already got a spirit of hateration, I see. And Bill Brown, I enjoy cooking. Now I'm even getting into this whole grilling thing now, too. I like cooking, and according to my family, I'm getting pretty good at it, too. I make a superb salmon. My hamburgers on the grill will make you say hallelujah and glory. And you'll start craving my crab legs. All I'm trying to tell you is that I'm learning my way around the kitchen. And my best friend, Pastor Todrick Deshaun Johnson, told me that when I started my cooking journey, that I needed to start by making the things that I like first. So as a consequence, upon beginning my cooking journey, I started going on YouTube to watch videos to learn how to cook my favorite meals. And I decided I was going to make me some dirty rice. So I went to the grocery store to get all of the ingredients that I needed. And upon coming home, I realized that I had forgot one seemingly insignificant ingredient at the store. And because my laziness had kicked in and I didn't want to go back out, I decided I was going to try to make the meal without that particular ingredient. Because I figured dirty rice would be okay without green onion. After all, it's just one ingredient. But the dirty rice didn't quite taste right. Every time I ate into it, I could tell that something was missing. So when Ariana asked me how did the dish turn out, I told her, I said, "You know, it was all right, but seemed to be missing something because I left out the green onion." And she said to me, "Oh yeah, Joe, it's not the same without it." Amazing how the whole dish was different because just one thing was missing. And allow me to rush to say to somebody listening to the sound of my voice today, you aren't cooking, but this story matches your current condition. Because in your life right now, you just feel like there's just something missing. You've got relationships, but something is missing. You've got money, but something is missing. You've got a career, but something is missing. You've got a gift, but something is missing. You've got affirmation and validation, but something is still missing. You've accomplished a whole lot, but you came to church this morning with the testimony, something is missing. You got a nice car, a nice house, and a fair amount of disposable income, but something is missing. And I want to suggest to you today, the thing that many of us are missing is the authentic presence of God in our lives. And friends, here's the sermon's simple proposition today. Every child of God must place a priority on the presence of God in their lives. That's what's happening in the text. For 20 years, the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, has been missing from being in the midst of the people of God. It had been stolen by the Philistines, and once returned to Israel, it had been housed at Abinadab's house. And by the time of our text, David has finally made it to the throne. It was a long time between his anointing and his appointing, but David has finally made it to the throne. The pain is paid off. The burdens are behind him. His anointing has been affirmed, and David is now the king. And in one of David's first acts as king of Israel, he leads what some scholars suggest to be the most significant geographical relocation in all of the scripture. David relocates the capital city of Israel from Hebron to Jerusalem. And by the time of our text, David takes inventory of his life and he realizes a few things. David takes inventory of his life and he realizes, I've got the kingdom. I've got the throne. I've got resources. I've got wives. I've got a family. I have an army and I have the capital. But something is missing. The thing that was missing was the Ark of the Covenant. You see, friends, the Ark of the Covenant symbolized the presence of God. David was wise enough to understand that having positions, prosperity, power, and prominence are no substitute for having the most important thing, which is the presence of God. Because for the child of God, friends, nothing is more valuable, more important, or more essential than the presence of God in and on your life. And can I tell you why I'm preaching this morning? Because as we move into this new year, I know we have plans. And I know we have projections. And I know we have people. And I know we've made preparations. But I've come to tell you that none of that will matter without the presence of God. And I tell you why I'm preaching this. See, it's true today, Mount Zion. I don't care who we have come here preach. I don't care who comes to sing here. I don't care how many members we add. I don't care how much outreach we do. I don't care who we staff, who we empower, what we renovate, what we change. I don't care how many banners we get and what we put on them. If God ain't in it, nothing matters. I tell you why I'm preaching this. Because I'm afraid that in this 21st century church, we have found a way to do church and ministry without the presence of God. So we really believe that if we get it dark enough, and if the light show is dope enough, and if the screens have the right images on them, and if the coffee bar is centrally located, and if we offer enough ministries that nobody can say there isn't something for them, and if we make children's church fun enough, and if we have enough smoke machines, then we know we'll have a move of God. I've come to tell you today, Mount Zion, that if we do not prioritize the presence of God in our lives, we will end up just like David and Israel, living life with no ark, making plans with no ark, building families with no ark, managing businesses with no ark, and sadly having church with no ark. Don't miss what's happening in the text, friends. They had lights, LED screens, staff, money, influence, systems, strategy, dope marketing, social media, apps, coffee stations, youth centers that rival Disneyland, and excellence in all they did. But they didn't have the presence of God. And David realizes something is missing, and it's not the same without it. Why? Because life without the presence of God is not life at all. And can I tell you why I'm preaching this? Because Mount Zion, if you and I are not careful, we will push God out of his own house and not even realize he's no longer here. And Mount Zion, I came today with a question. I know we've got buildings. I know we've got staff. I know we've got money. I know we've got influence. I know we've got a platform. But the question is, do we have the ark? Because Mount Zion, if the glory ain't on it, that means God ain't in it. And if God ain't in it, then why are we doing it? And I've come to tell you today, friends, that programs, prosperity, practices, and people will never be a suitable replacement for the presence of God. And here's the truth. Here's the truth. Let's just be honest today. Everybody got a preference of how they like church. Everybody's got a preference of what kind of church they want. The truth of the matter is today, I don't care what kind of church you want. I do know what kind of church you need. And the kind of church you need is one where the presence of God is. And if you want to see God bless this church this year, if you want to see God increase this church this year, if you want to see God expand this church this year, it won't come from our planning. It will only come through our prioritizing of God's presence. But friends, this is not just a word for our house. This is a word for your house. Because can I tell you something today, friends? You shouldn't just want gains this year. You should want God this year. Yeah. See, that's why we've begun this year with 30 days of prayer and fasting. And if you ain't taking that seriously, then shame on you. But I'm praying and fasting because I want the glory of God to rest on my life. I want the glory of God to rest on my church. I want the glory of God to rest on my family, on my money, on my body. And I know you want money this year, but I want God. I know you want success this year, but I want God. I know you want more stuff this year, but I want more God. This year, I don't just want you to live with the peace of God. I also want you to live with putting a priority on the presence of God. And I know why some of y'all ain't getting with me. Because you done bought into the world's teaching that you can't live without certain people and ample resources and certain creature comforts. That's why some of y'all are more addicted to Wi-Fi than you are acquainted with God's word. But I'm looking for some folk in the church today who can say, Reverend, I got that old school testimony. Take the whole world. Just give me Jesus. Why? Because I'm in a season and a space of my life where all I want is the presence and the power of God in my life. And I came to tell somebody that this is a year where you are going to have to go after God like never before. Because hear me today, friends, and hear me today prophetically. 2023 is going to be a supernatural and a strange year. And you better make sure you got the ark. Because this is a year where God is going to pull the covers off of who he, and he's about to reveal who belongs to him and who doesn't. And this is a year where you should go after the presence of God like never before. Because here is the thesis for my little sermon today. When your life is devoid of the presence of God, you must be determined to pursue and possess the presence of God in your life by any means necessary. And that's what I like about David in this text. David understands. I don't have the ark, but I want it back. And that's what I came to preach to somebody today. I came to tell you that if your life is devoid of the presence of God, then this is the year you ought to make up in your mind, I want my ark back. I want to feel God again. I want to experience God again. I want to hear God again. I want to love on God again. I want to encounter God again. I got to get my ark back. Because here's the take-home truth, and I'm almost done. Your life is incomplete without the presence of God in it. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I came to give you this nugget for your new year. That not only this year do you need to live in the peace of God, but this year you've got to prioritize the presence of God because your life is incomplete without it. I don't care what else you don't have or what else you or who else you don't have. If you got God, you can make it. That's the whole sermon. But I read a whole chapter of the Bible. So I got to preach it. So here the question. So what do I do when I realize I'm missing the ark? What do I do when I realize that I'm missing God's presence in my life? Anybody interested? Because, I mean, if you ain't interested, we done already had a good shout. We can go home. Now, here it is. Here the first one. When you realize that the presence of God ain't in your life, the first thing you got to do is you must choose to pursue the presence of God. Everybody say choose to pursue the presence of God. I'm cutting across the field, but can I ask you a question today? Can I ask just one question? Can I just be nosy? I got the mic. When you realize that the ark is missing, what do you do? Because once you realize that the ark is missing, you only have two options. Either you accept life without the presence of God, Are you do whatever it takes to get God's presence back in your life? And I'm looking for some folk in this church today that can say in 2023 and any year for that matter, accepting life without God's presence is never an option. I'm looking for some folk in this church that can say, I need God's presence in my life and I'll do whatever it takes to get it. That's why when you realize that the ark is missing, you've got to choose to pursue the presence of God. Can I show it to you in the text? Watch text. David has become the king. And Michelle, one of the first items on his agenda is let's get the ark back where it belongs. Let's make sure that the ark of the covenant is inside of the capital city of Israel. And notice, friends, David does not wait for Abinadab to bring the ark of the covenant to him. No, Papa Arnold, he chooses to go and pursue the ark of the covenant for himself. And I want to suggest that David does this for at least two reasons. Here's why. First of all, David does this because the ark had been neglected. Everybody say neglected. See, the Ark of the Covenant had not resided in the capital city for 20 years. Now, here's how you know that the Ark had been neglected. Because, Timory, it's not like the Ark was missing. They knew exactly where the Ark was. Here was the problem, though. In the previous administration, David's predecessor had other priorities. See, David's predecessor was more concerned with trying to consolidate his own power than he was concerned with ensuring that the Ark of the Covenant was in its rightful place in the midst of the people of God. Which means what? Saul and Israel had neglected the presence of God because they had other priorities. And how often are we guilty of the same thing? How often do we take the presence of God for granted because we know where to find God, but in the meantime, we focus on other things that have gained priority and taken prominence in our lives? So Saul spent more time trying to kill David than trying to get right with God. Today I came to ask you, what has taken your focus off of God? What is it that you are pursuing while you're neglecting the presence of God? Why is it that you'll wake up early for work but not to pray? Why will you fight traffic to get your kids to extracurricular activities but not to get to the house of God? Why will you spend your last on a thing but not invest into the kingdom with a tithe? What is it that you are pursuing while neglecting the presence of God? And I've come today to tell you, friends, that neglecting the presence of God is a dangerous thing. Because don't forget, friends, the same Saul who neglected the presence of God ultimately lost the pleasure of God. Why? Because how do you expect God to tend to your matters when you neglect his? This year is the year of your life where you ought to be resolved that I will not neglect the presence of God in my life. That no matter what, I will make time for prayer. No matter what, I will make time to study the word. No matter what, I will make time to hear the word of God preached and taught. Because after God has tended to all my stuff, how dare I neglect his? David doesn't just pursue the ark because the ark had been neglected. But David pursues the ark because the ark was necessary. See, the Ark of the Covenant was necessary for Israel for at least two reasons. First of all, because of what the ark represented. You see, the Ark of the Covenant was this gold box that had an angel on the top of it. But what made the box significant was not what was on the outside of the box. What made the box significant was what was inside the box. Because inside of the box were the broken tablets of Moses containing the Ten Commandments, which represented the principles of God. Inside of the box was the jar of manna from heaven, which represented the provisions of God. Inside of the box was Aaron's rod that budded, which represented the protection of God. And whenever you have the principles of God, the provisions of God, and the protection of God, you ultimately have the very presence of God. Which means that the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. But the Ark of the Covenant did not just represent the presence of God, but it also represented the fact that God was present. See, the Ark of the Covenant was the visible manifestation of God's presence amongst his people. So when the Ark was present, Israel didn't think that a box was there. They knew that when the Ark
showed up, God was there. See, that's why in Joshua chapter 3, when the people are preparing to cross the Jordan, they are commanded to follow the Ark of the Covenant and not to get too close to it. Why? Because they ain't following no box. They're following their God. And all of this suggests that David is pursuing the Ark of the Covenant because it will represent the fact that Israel doesn't just have one king. No, every nation got that. But what makes Israel distinct, what makes Israel distinguished, is the fact that Israel don't have one king. Israel got two. You see, David is the earthly king, but Yahweh is the eternal king. And David says, I gotta pursue the ark. Why? Because the ark represents not only God's presence, but it represents the fact that we are God's people. And friends, this is why prioritizing the presence of God in your life this year is so important. Because the only thing that makes God's people special is God. The only thing that distinguishes God's people and makes them distinct from the rest of the world is the presence of God in their midst. And friends, that's why in 2023, normal church ain't gonna cut it. Yeah, I know some of y'all want to have normal church, but I came to tell you, normal church ain't gonna cut it. There's gonna be a harvest in the body of Christ this year, but it's only going to come to churches where the ark is present. It's only gonna come to places where the glory of God is present and residing. Can I tell you something, church? That's what I want to see happen at this church. That's what I want to see here. I want God's presence to be so heavy among us that those who don't even believe in our God are going to walk in this church and say there's something different, there's something distinct, there's something distinguished about these people. And we can tell them it's not that we're so awesome, it's just that we got the ark, that the presence of God is among us. But the ark was necessary not just because of what it represented, but the ark was necessary because of what resulted when the ark was present. When you read scripture, wherever the ark was, David Troy, there were blessings. When the ark was at Abinadab's house, God blessed Abinadab and all that he had. When the ark was at Obed-Edom's house, God blessed Obed-Edom and all that he had. And David was wise enough. Now, if y'all missed this, I don't know what to tell you. David was wise enough to understand that if Israel wanted the blessings of God, then they needed to have the God who blesses. Where y'all at? I'm preaching.com. I said Israel understood that there was no way for them to have the blessings of God without the God who blesses. And friends, this is a good word for us today because we are living in a day and an age where people believe that they can be blessed without God. But I came to tell somebody that this year, if you want to be blessed, it ain't going to come from reading another book. It ain't going to come from starting another business, taking another class, meeting another person, or moving to another city. It ain't going to happen by any of those things alone. I came to tell you, read your book, but make sure you have the presence of God too. Start your business, but make sure you got the presence of God. Take another class, but make sure you got the presence of God. Meet all the people you want, but make sure you got the presence of God. Move wherever you like, but make sure you have the presence of God, because friends, being blessed is not about what you have, it's about who has you. And when you got God, you already blessed. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I came to tell somebody that in all you're getting this year, make sure you get the presence of God. Because we see this principle all throughout scripture. I'm really trying. We see this principle all throughout scripture. Israel was no match for Egypt, but God was with him. David was no match for Goliath, but God was with him. Gideon's army could not compare to the Midians, but God was with him. Daniel was no match for the lion's den, but God was with him. Jesus was no match for the grave, but God was with her. And somebody in this place can testify that the only reason you can explain how blessed I am, the only reason you can explain why I have what I have, the only reason you can explain why I've accomplished what I've accomplished is because I wasn't the smartest. I wasn't always the best. I didn't always have the most morals. I didn't go to the better schools. It's not because I had it all together, but my secret sauce this morning is that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't be here today. What you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to tell somebody, pursue God's presence this year. That's where your peace is. That's where your progress is. That's where your prosperity is. That's where your blessings are. Pursue God's presence. Because the only thing that makes us different is the God who's on our side. All right, I'm moving on. Once you realize you ain't got the ark, you got to choose to pursue the presence of God, right? Here, number two. Is it still all right? I still got a few more minutes. Number two, here's the second one. You must be careful how you proceed with the presence of God. Say that with me. Say, be careful how you proceed with the presence of God. I'm cutting across the field because I ain't ate no meat, so I'm hungry. Let me come across here and tell you that there are an array of adjectives that we use to describe our God. And most of us have our favorites. So we often hear about the faithfulness of God and the sovereignty of God and the immutability of God and the righteousness of God. And lest we all forget our all favorite, the goodness of God. But there's a word that I don't hear much in church no more, Elder Tony. But we got to add it back to our vocabulary in 2023. And that's the holiness of God. My friends, God is holy. Did you hear what I just said? I said God is holy. That means God is set apart. God is holy. That means God is unlike any other. God is holy. Means God is perfect and sinless. God is holy. That means God is not to be played with. And hear me today, friends, because I believe that God sent me today not only on an apostolic assignment for this house, but for the church as a whole. Because there are many people who watch the messages that come from this pulpit across this nation. And God told me today to serve the body of Christ a warning. Because I heard God clearly say that 2023 is the year where he will not be played with any longer. Because too many of us, and I hope y'all are hearing me today, this is a prophetic warning. Too many of us have been playing church, and God is tired of us mishandling his stuff. Because too many of us have been treating God's holy stuff like carnal stuff. We have become too casual with the things of God. We have become too common with the things of God. And this is the year where God wants to remind us that he is holy, and we need to be very careful with how we handle him and his stuff. Because somewhere along the way, friends, we started handling God's stuff like it was our stuff. But I came to tell you, God's house is not your house, which is why you can't handle it like your home. God's house is not a business, which is why you can't handle it like a corporation. God's house is not merely a nonprofit organization offering services to the community, which is why you cannot handle it like another nonprofit organization. God is holy. God's house is holy. And God's presence is holy. And this year, we got to be careful how we handle the holy God. Because hear me today, friends. Hear me today. Because mishandling a holy God leads to disaster. Can I show it to you in the text? Can I show it to you in the text? If you paid attention as I was reading through that entire chapter today, then you will realize that Second Samuel chronicles two attempts to bring the Ark of the Covenant to the capital city of Jerusalem. The first attempt goes tragically wrong due to a mishandling of the presence of God. Anybody interested with what happens? Look at the text. Look at the text. David, don't miss this, Rod. David had the right intentions. Notice, I'm in the Bible, Carla. David's intention is simply to get the Ark of the Covenant back where it was supposed to be. This is a noble and a worthy intention. Ron Price, after all, he's pursuing the presence of God. He has the right intentions. He seeks to ensure that the presence of God is in its rightful place in the midst of the people of God in the capital city called Jerusalem, of the city of David. But not only does he have the right intentions, but when you keep reading the text, Ben, he seems to have the right idea. Notice, they seek to transport the Ark of the Covenant on what the text calls a new cart. Carl, the purpose of the new cart was to ensure that the Ark of the Covenant was not defiled by using an old cart that may have not been clean. Because in that culture, anything unclean was defiled. And anything that was unclean and defiled could not be in the presence of a holy God. Which means what? For David and the fellas to get a new cart says that they were trying to show respect and deference for the fact that God was holy. That God, and they only wanted to place the Ark of the Covenant on a clean and a new cart. He's got the right intentions. He's got the right idea. Here's where it goes wrong. He follows the wrong instructions. The text says, I hope you got your Bible open, that on the first attempt, everything goes wrong because David doesn't do it God's way. Fave, according to the text, according to Exodus and Numbers, there was a certain way that the Ark of the Covenant was to be transported. You see, the Ark of the Covenant had been made with these four rings near the corners so that poles could go through the rings so that the Ark of the Covenant could be carried on the shoulders of the Levites, and it was never to be touched. Which means David and his men are doing this all wrong. Stay with me, friends. They're using a new cart that is being pulled by an ox. Retranslation, Chris. They're attempting to use new technology because they believe it'll help them to be more effective and efficient. But the instructions of God were never designed for effectiveness or efficiency. They were designed for compliance and obedience. So they're using technology, trying to be more effective and efficient, but they're not being obedient. And I know what you're asking. I know what you're asking. I know it. Where did David even get this idea from? I'm so glad you asked. David replicates the practice of the Philistines from 1 Samuel chapter 6 when they were moving the Ark of the Covenant after they stole it. Which means what? Don't miss it. That means David has borrowed this method from the Philistines, which means now David is attempting to do God's work the world's way. Did you hear what I just said? David is trying to do God's work the world's way. Instead of taking his orders from God, he is now following the patterns that he has seen in the world because it looks like it works. Don't look at David like that, because many of our churches today are taking their cues from the world and not the word. Trying to do God's work the world's way. And can I tell you what makes this whole thing even worse? Can I tell you what makes this whole thing even worse? Here's what makes it worse, Sid. Here's what makes it worse. David changed practices when he should have been changing people. See, the Ark of the Covenant was never meant to be on a cart. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of men. Which means what? God doesn't put his glory on something. He always puts it on someone. And some of you keep trying to change the practice because you don't have people around you who can carry glory. But God told me to tell you that you better stop changing practices and start changing people. You better get some people around you who can carry the weight of glory. That's why I told somebody this week, folk ain't got to like me, but what they can't deny is that glory is on me. Because glory don't rest on a something. It always rests on someone. Supposed to be on the shoulders. And watch the text, because it gets gooder. Don't miss it. Watch the text. They have been good church, Skylar, while they're doing the wrong thing. I'm in this Bible. They move in the ark and they have a good church. They singing, they dancing, they playing tambourines. They got a lot of great pomp and circumstance. But while they're dancing, Natalie, somebody's getting ready to die. Why? Because don't miss this, friends. Because great pageantry does not mean God is pleased. And in a lot of our churches, we have perfected pageantry. But that does not mean that we possess the pleasure of God. Because just because it's awesome doesn't mean God approves it. I'm preaching it here. Just because it looks good doesn't mean God is in it. Just because it seems to be working doesn't mean God is in it. Just because people are enjoying it doesn't mean God is in it. Just because it's growing doesn't mean God is in it. Because everything that's big ain't blessed. Some of it is infected. There are a lot of churches and Christians that have great pageantry, but God ain't pleased at all. And how tragic is it, Mama Tyus, to be having good church while people are dying and God is not pleased? And the text says that in the midst of them having good church while doing the wrong thing, the ox stumbles and the Ark of the Covenant gets ready to fall off the cart. Don't miss this. And a brother named Uzzah sees the ark falling and he stretches out his hand. Here's what the text says: to steady the ark. He just wanted to make sure the ark didn't fall. He's got good intentions. He don't want to see the ark fall. He's got good intentions, but he's not following instructions. Because remember, nobody's supposed to touch the ark. If the ark was going to fall, he should have let it fall. Why? Because you can't manage glory. You got to move with it. I'm preaching. Maybe God gave me this word because I'm supposed to preach this at some pastor's conference later this year because y'all ain't happy. I said, you can't manage glory. You got to move with it. That's why earlier in the service today, that's why I couldn't manage what God was doing. I just had to move with it. You got to move with the glory. You can't manage it. So he tries to stop it. But can I tell you what his real problem is, Dr. Hope? Here's what Uzzah's problem was. Uzzah thought that his hand was cleaner than the ground and didn't realize that to God they were both just dust. Preach, Josh Daniels, I am. Uzzah decided, although it ain't what God said, he thought it was the smart thing to do. So Uzzah decided he was going to try to help God out. What Uzzah didn't understand was that God doesn't need your protection. Matter of fact, God had already proven that he could protect the Ark of the Covenant himself in 1 Samuel chapter 5. When the Philistines steal the Ark, they try to take it to three different places. And everywhere they take it, disaster strikes, so much so that when they take it to the last house, the Philistines say, you know what? Let's get this thing back to its owners. Let's take this to some Israelites because this ain't even supposed to be amongst us. Why? Because God doesn't need your protection. And sadly, Uzzah loses his life. And Israel loses 3 months of progress because this text teaches us something. I hope you're writing this down. This text teaches us, Frida, that you can mean really well and still do really wrong. You can mean really, really well and still do really, really wrong. You know why? Because I hope somebody's writing this down. Because full obedience is what God is after, not your good intentions. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but this is a word for our lives and our church in 2023, that God's business has to be handled the way God outlined for it to be handled, and if not, disaster is going to come. And God sent me to tell somebody, I know you got good intentions. I know you mean well. I know you're trying to be helpful. I know your heart is in the right place. But God isn't looking for you to follow your intentions. God is looking for you to follow his instructions. Because if you don't do it God's way, then you won't be in God's will. And this year, God is trying to tell some of us that the outcome is his job. Obedience is our job. And if you don't want to be guilty of meaning well and doing wrong, then this is the year that you got to make up in your mind, God's way or no way. That this is the year I got to go against my flesh. I got to crucify my thoughts. I got to crucify what I believe is right, because it ain't about what I believe. It's about what he said. And if it ain't written in what he said, then I can't do it, because obedience is my only option. And I'm looking for somebody in this church today who can testify all 2023 long. It don't matter how it feels to me. It doesn't matter if it goes against my own greater judgment. It doesn't matter if it goes against my intellect. Obedience is my only option. Because when you aren't careful with how you handle God's stuff, a world of disaster could come. Ask Uzzah. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't. He's dead. Gotta fully obey. I'm moving on. I had a story to tell, but y'all ain't trying to have church. Let's go. Here the last point. You know, I am gonna tell my story. For my birthday, you know, we had all this stuff going on at the church, because my birthday and my anniversary weekend was tied together. But my wife, she's so special. She's just God's woman. And so she decided that because church was all weekend, that she wanted me to do some fun on Monday. So my wife decided she was going to send me and two of my friends to go to the Chargers game. We was going to go to the SoFi Stadium to go to the Chargers game. I think it was the Chargers. It might have been the Rams. I don't watch sports. Just stick with the story. It was Monday Night Football. That's what I knew it was. Hallelujah. At the SoFi. So as a consequence, I don't know nothing about football. That's where this story is going. I don't know nothing about football, but I went with Pastor Jeremy Dixon, Pastor Todd Johnson, and when we went, you know, they watching the game, but I'm paying attention to everything else because I don't watch football. I don't care who wins, so I'm just enjoying the atmosphere. You understand? And I noticed that all the little coaches kept walking up and down the field with these little headsets on. So I leaned over to Jeremy and Taja. I said, now how do they fit the headsets into the helmets? I said, because the coach is talking to him. I said, got to be headphones inside of those helmets. I said, those are really cool. They must be really expensive. And Jeremy looked at me and said, well, all you know is preaching. I said, yeah. I said, so who is he? He said, he's not talking to the players. I said, so who is he talking to? He said, Josh, there's a coach in the stands who's looking at the game, and he can see when the opposing team is changing their strategy. He said, so the coach on the field waits to call the play until he hears from the coach in the stands so that he'll know what strategy he needs to run. I said, hold on, Jeremy. Are you trying to tell me that they don't do nothing down there till they hear from up there? Can I tell you that ought to be your testimony all 2023? I ain't doing nothing down here, hey, until I hear from up there that if God don't say it, I can't do it. That all I can do this year is take my instructions from God. This will not be the year I will treat God's word like a spiritual subway. I'll take this, I'll hold that. This is the year I'm going to obey all the way. Look at somebody and tell them obedience is my only option this year. All right, I'm done. I'm signing off here for real. Let me get out of here. William, you need to say this one for TV. This one going on TV. Here the last one. I don't know when, but I'm prophesying it is. Anyway, here the last one. When you realize that the archangel, you got to choose to pursue the presence of God. You got to be careful how you proceed with the presence of God. Here's the last one, and I'm done. You got to celebrate when you possess the presence of God. Can everybody say celebrate when you possess the presence of God? I say when you possess the presence of God. Because y'all ain't say, y'all just, I said say possess the presence of God. All right, I'm signing off here. I'm signing off here. But can I tell you something? Whenever you lost something and you get it back, you can't help but to celebrate. And how great of a celebration should one have when they regain the presence of God in their lives? Now, watch text. Now, in this point, I got several places we can lift off. I don't know when we're going to lift off, but what I do know is we're headed to the mountain. Let's watch the text. When Uzzah dies, David gets angry and scared. The question that David raises, how shall the ark come to me? That's not David trying to figure it out. It's David's own admission of his own fear. But I like David because in this text, he doesn't allow his anger or his fear to make him move too quickly. Too many of us allow anger and fear to make us move impatiently. But God told me to tell somebody, this is the year for you to take a pause. This is the year for you to take time, that you need to stop acting out of anger, stop acting out of fear. Take some time. And David takes 3 months. And this was enough time for David to do three things, for him to reflect, repent, and regroup. In those 3 months, David had time to figure out how he got it wrong, to ask God's forgiveness, and to plan to do it God's way the next time. And here's the first shout. You ready for the good news? God gave David another chance. That's a good place to shout, that even though David got it wrong, God gave him another chance to get it right. That sounds like grace to me. And that's somebody's testimony this morning. Somebody in this church other than me can testify that the only reason I made it over into 2023 is not because I got everything right. But is there anybody other than me who can testify that God gave me a chance this year to get right what I got wrong the last time? Will you look at somebody around you and tell them, I won't waste this chance, y'all. Y'all ain't trying to help me preach. Look at somebody and tell them, I won't mess it up this time. Yeah. See, I could have been Uzzah and died in my disobedience. But the fact that God graced me with another chance to get right what I got wrong, I'm not going to mess it up. Will you tell somebody? I'm about to preach in here. I said, will you tell somebody I ain't messing it up this year? Yeah, I fumbled the glory in a past season. I made some mistakes in the past season. I let impatience and immaturity get the best of me in the last season. I moved ahead of God in the last season. I wasn't fully obedient in the last season, but not today, Satan. You ought to tell the devil, bye, Felicia, because if God gives me another chance, I'm not going to waste that grace. Because here's another shout. Because the second time around, Papa, God, David does it differently. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but God told me to tell you 2023 is the year for you to do it differently. Forget about the stuff that went wrong. Forget about the stuff that even worked. This is your year to do it differently. And this time he obeys God. Look at somebody and tell them, do it differently. And the Bible says that this time he obeys God's instructions completely. And when he obeys God's instructions, that the ark makes it to Jerusalem. Y'all missed that shot. I said that the last time the ark didn't get there, but this time the ark made it there safely. And I don't know who need to hear this word, but God sent me to tell somebody that this time it's going to work. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but will you help me to prophesy to your neighbor and tell them, neighbor. You only said it one time. I said, look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, it's going to work this time. I know it didn't work the last time, but it's going to work this time. I know you dropped the ball the last time, but it's going to work this time. I know you erred the last time, but it's going to work this time. I know you didn't fully obey the last time, but is there anybody who can say this time? Matter of fact, put that word down your row. Just look down your row and say this time. You ain't say it like you got authority. I said, look down your row and give them a prophetic point and tell them this time. Yeah, it's going to work. I don't care how it happened, it's going to work. And the text says that when David realizes that God has given him another chance, when David sees that the grace of God has allowed it to work this time, the Bible in your hand says David starts celebrating. David starts shouting. The Bible says he dances out of his clothes. How many of you know that just because you happy don't mean other folk gonna be happy? See, when he starts shouting, and sometimes the people that'll be least happy will be the people that are closest to you. Because that's what happened to David. David's wife sees him shouting, and she comes out and says, it don't take all that. She come out and say, why are you making all that noise? She come out and say, why are you doing all of that? But I like David, because David makes up in his mind that since I now possess the presence of God, I've got to celebrate. Which means David is saying, I don't care who I bother. Because can I tell you something, church? Michael is big mad, but David gives God a bigger praise. Because when God has done something for you, your praise may bother other people, but you better tell them, be bothered then, boo. Because I got to praise and I got to get it. I wish you would look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, I'm getting ready to bother you. You ain't preaching to your neighbor. I said, tell your neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Tell him, I'm getting ready to bother you. Can I tell you why? I don't care who I bother. David says, I don't care who I bother, because I know I'm blessed. David tells his wife, he said, hey, baby, he said, God picked me and God promoted me instead of your daddy, instead of your brother, that God chose me. And he said, since God blessed me, then I might as well bless him. And he tells Michael, matter of fact, I'll get even more undignified than this. In other words, before I shut up, I'll turn up. Will you do me a favor? Look at somebody and tell them, this praise is because I'm already blessed. Tell them, this shout is because I know I'm blessed. I'm not praising God for what's on the way, but I got to praise him because I'm already blessed. Is there anybody in this house that can look over your life and say, I know I'm blessed? If you got a roof over your head, you ought to lift your hands and say, I know I'm blessed. If you got food in the refrigerator, you ought to lift your hands and say, I know I'm blessed. If you got clothes in the closet, you ought to lift your hands and say, I know I'm blessed. If you still got a job, if you still got your mind, if you still got your peace, if you still got your joy, you ought to lift your hands and say, I know I'm blessed. And because I'm blessed, ain't nobody gotta tell me to lift up my hands. Because I'm blessed, ain't nobody gotta tell me to open up my mouth. Because I'm blessed, ain't nobody gotta tell me to give God a dance. But with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I'm gonna bless the God who blessed me. Now, is there anybody in here that can say, I don't mean to get on your nerves, but he's been good to me? Is there anybody in here that can say, he's been good to me? He made ways, he opened doors, he brought me through, he crossed me over, and he's taken care of me. So on this Sunday morning, I don't need a new house. I don't need a new car. I don't need a new job. But on this Sunday morning, I got a memory and a flashback of what he's already done. And because I know what he's already done, I want to praise him for the ways he's already made, for the doors he's already opened. I'm about to preach myself crazy. For the bills he's already paid, for the bodies he's already healed, for the things he's already done. So how can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved, but you gave to prove your love. And the voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all. I owe it all to thee. Is there anybody here that can help me close my sermon? Lift your hands, throw your head back, and say, to God be the glory. Y'all ain't helping me preach. I said, lift your hands, throw your head back, and say, to God be the glory for the things he
he had done. Is there anybody here that want to praise him for what he's already done? Is there anybody here that want to bless him for what he's already done? Why do I want to praise him? Because if he brought me through this, he can bring me over that. If he brought me through this, he can bring me over that. If he paid one bill, he can pay that bill. If he healed one body, he can heal that body. And sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it gets rough. Sometimes you want to give up. But just look back at what he brought you through. As if he brought me over all of that, he can bring me over this. If he brought me over all of that, he can take me over this. Is there anybody in the church that owes God a crazy praise? Is there anybody here that can say, I gotta bless him because he already blessed me? I got to shout, I got to praise him, because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You can't tell it. Let me tell it what the Lord has done for me. He picked me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. I got to quit, but my soul is happy because I'm blessed, and I know I'm blessed. I know some of y'all in here, you done did everything right. I know some of y'all in here, you ain't never made mistakes, but I'm looking for the folk that say he should have killed me, but he kept me. He should have killed me, but he kept me. He should have killed me, but he blessed me. He should have killed me, but he elevated me. He should have killed me, but he put his hand on me. And if you know you're blessed, if you're glad you're blessed, then when I count to three, give him a I'm blessed shout. Give him a I'm blessed praise. Give him a I'm blessed dance. One, two, three. Three, shout, 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 yeah, shout. Say this, I can't help it that I'm blessed. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I can't help it that I'm blessed. Ba-ba-ba. I can't help it that I'm blessed. I can't help it that I'm blessed. I really can't help it. 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 Say this, say I am blessed. Say I am blessed. Say I am blessed. Say I am blessed. Oh yes, I am. Say I am blessed. Say I am blessed. Say I am blessed. Say I am blessed. Oh yes, I am. You ain't praising him like you're blessed. You ain't praising him like you're blessed. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, I am blessed. Say, I am blessed. Say, I am healed. Say, I am healed. Say, I am a whole. Say, I am a whole. Say, I am free. Say, I am free. Say, I am out. Say, I am out. Say, I am blessed. Say, I am blessed. Yeah. Say, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I said, I am blessed. The favor of God is all over my life. I said, I am blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Hey, I'm blessed when I come. I'm blessed when I go. I am blessed. I am blessed. Well, praise him like you're blessed. But if my friend Bishop Jacobs was here, he would say, I can't help it, he been good to me. I can't help it, he been good to me. I can't help it, he been good to me. Hey, I can't help it, he been good to me. I can't help it, he been good to me. That's why I gotta praise him. That's why I can't stop shouting. That's why I can't stop dancing. Everybody stand and I'm gone. I'm gone. We gotta go. I'm way over my time. I'm way over my time. But somebody today knows that your 2023 ain't gonna be the same if you don't have an ark in your life. That you need God's presence this year like never before. Somebody asked me the other day, do you need the Holy Ghost to be saved? I told him, you need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. You better ask the Holy Ghost, which one they ain't shooting up today? Y'all don't want to talk to me. This is a year you're going to need the presence of God like never before. Mount Zion, I need you to lift those hands. I need you to hear me in the realm of the spirit. Because I don't want you all to miss the moment we're in as a church. We're in a season where the presence of God is so heavy upon us. So strong on us right now. And if we're not careful, we'll mishandle it. God's word to us this year, Mount Zion, is get out my way. God said, this his church. He know exactly what he doing, how he want to do it, who he want to do it with. Get out of my way. And that's what God is telling somebody for your life. God said, your life don't belong to you. Stop feeding into your American culture so much that you can't have a kingdom mindset. Because some of us are more American than we are Christian. And you have bought into the American notion that your life belongs to you. But no, the scripture says your life was bought with a price. Your life does not belong to you, it belongs to God. And God is saying, I know where you are. I know who you are. I know what I plan to do in your life. I already have the plan. God says, get out of my way this year. God says, trust me completely. Follow me completely and watch what happens. And I got to say one last thing in this text. Keep those hands lifted because I'm still ministering in this sermon right now. I don't want you to miss this. Verse 23 says something. David Thompson, one of the reasons I left it out, it didn't go with my question, but I also left it out for this reason. Verse 23 says something because I'm going to come back to this text and I'm going to do a two-part series this year. Because at the end of that text, I saw something that I really wanted to find a way to preach it, but it wasn't in this sermon. But Miss Veronica, in that text, at the end, we see two different personalities. We see Michael. She's too bitter to be blessed. Text says David blesses the people. David blesses the warriors. And when he goes to bless his house,
Before the blessing can get to the house, she come out being all bitter. Look at you. Michael missed out on a blessing because she was too bitter. But I like David because David is too blessed to be bitter. Because David said, hey, I know you coming at me with all that hateration, holleration in this dancery, but no, 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 boo. The Lord chose me. And because he chose me, I got to celebrate. But here's the point I'm trying to get to. Verse 23 says this, Mama Hawkins. It says this. It says this, Mama Arnold. That Michael had no children until the day of her death. Now, here's the thing, Gerald. The text doesn't let us know whether or not that's because God closed her womb or because David just never went back in it. But the point is, she never produced again. Whether God closed her womb, whether David chose never to go into it again, she never produced. And I want to suggest that it was because Michael didn't prioritize the presence of God. And friends, there are some things God wants you to produce in 2023. But hear me, child of God, it is not by might. It is not by power. But it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. God said, this year you ain't going to get it done without me. Hear me today prophetically because I'm ministering more than you hear me. God told me to tell some of you, God told me to tell all of us, you have gotten as far as you're going to get without me. You have gotten as far as you're going to get with partial obedience. You have gotten as far as you're going to get with in and out commitment. God says 2023 is the year you either going to be all in or God says I'm going to be all out. God says I've given you patience. I've given you time to get it right. God says, I've been nudging at you. I've been talking to you. I've given you a chance. And even this word today, God told me on my way to church, God told me this is a word of warning because with me, I always send warning before I send whooping. Some of you today, you didn't need to just hear this as just another sermon. Today, God gave you specific instruction for your future. And here's the instruction. God says, go come after me this year like never before. God says, pursue my presence like never before. Some of you, it's time for you to start waking up earlier to have prayer time and devotion time. I know you got a lot going on. We all do. But God says, if I can make 24 hours for you, can you not make a few minutes for me? God says, this is a year I need you to come after me like never before. Your prayer life got to go to another level, friends. Your devotional life got to go to another level. Your commitment to coming to church. This is not the year. Let me tell you something. All that virtual foolishness, heaven ain't going to be a virtual experience. And the hell you going to go through ain't a virtual experience. 2023 is the year the gathering is going to matter. I know that the world, y'all done bought into the world saying that the church ain't going to be filled no more because all this. Look around you, boo-boo. God's people come to church. And in 2023, the gathering is going to be important. Why? Because man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you hear what I just said? Every word that proceeds. Not some words, not the words you catch. That's why this year, no Sunday can be an off Sunday for you. No Bible study can be an off night for you because I need every word. Because I need the full instruction. This year, God says, my word is be careful how you handle me. Be careful how you handle this house. God says, this ain't our house. I'm not just telling y'all. God's been speaking this word to me. This ain't our house. This is his house. It's some words we know we shouldn't say on these grounds. It's some behaviors we can't tolerate on this ground. I ain't poking at nobody. This ain't where you smoke your cigarette. Hallelujah. This ain't where you hook up. Go get on one of them websites if that's what you want to do.
This is holy ground. This is God's house. You better stop referring to your brothers and sisters in Christ as N-words. These ain't no ends. These God's people. They just as special to God, they ought to be special to you. Just had to hear for y'all to be talking about each other and fighting each other. None of that. God says, because this is my house and my house is to be holy. And God says, I need you to take care of my stuff. All of us, every one of us, from me on down, every leader in this church, God is saying to us, this is mine. And if you want to be blessed this year, you're going to have to follow me. You're going to have to follow divine instructions. And in this house, God has an order. What's the order? God gives the vision. He gives it to the man of God. God's man gives it to the people. And the people run with the vision. This year, we got to be in divine alignment and divine order. And watch what God does. But God says, you got to celebrate. You got to celebrate when you possess my presence. Church, every time we come in here, it need to be a praise party. This ought not be a year where we got to pull teeth to praise him. Every time you think of what he's done, this is what, and I know some of y'all said, sometimes I don't feel like praising. David said, I command my soul to bless the Lord. I don't always have to feel like praising him. I command my soul. I tell my soul, we're going to shout today. And when I need a reason, I think about what he's done for me. This ought to be a year of celebration. Because God's presence is upon us. If you say this year, I want to make a priority of God's presence in my life, just lift those hands. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. I know time is far spent today. But just lift those hands right now and just begin to tell God, God, I need more of you this year. Matter of fact, tell him, God, I don't just need it. I want more of you this year. Lord, I want to be closer to you than I've ever been before. Lord, I want to be more committed to you than I've ever been before this year. Lord, I want to be in a greater pursuit of you than I've ever been before. Lord, I need more of you. More of your spirit. More of your presence. Give me you this year. That I might be who you've called me to be. That I might do what you've called me to do. That I might see what you've called me to see. That I might say what you've called me to say. I need you, God. I can't go through this year without you. The next level that I'm waiting on, the next level I'm praying for, it would not happen without you. Give me more of you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today. I said what you told me to say. I taught what you told me to teach. I preached what you told me to preach. You told me this year you want us to prioritize your presence like never before. You want us to pull after your power like never before. Go after your glory. So God, today we let you know we're surrendered to you. We submit to your will today. We say, Holy Ghost, have your way in our lives. Less of us, more of you is what we require. God, today we acknowledge that there have been seasons where we did not prioritize your presence. We've been like Saul before. We've neglected your presence because we had other priorities. But this year, God, we acknowledge you are our only priority. You are the only desire of our heart. And oh God, this year we're coming after you like never before. This year, God, forgive us for the times that we've treated holy stuff carnally. Forgive us for getting too common with you. Forgive us for getting too common with your word. For getting too common with worship. For getting too common with your presence. Help us to always appreciate it. Help us to always be grateful when you stop our way. When you come by this house. God, all year long we promise to celebrate you. We don't care who we bother because we know we're blessed. We know that the God who woke us up is the God who's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the adoration. So this year we won't live without you. But we say order our steps. Order our stops. So favor our footsteps that even the devil in hell got to call us blessed. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray and ask God, if you love the Lord, say amen. Now clap those hands like never before. Come on, clap those hands like never before. Listen, you can be seated very quickly.
Somebody might need to get saved. Somebody might need to join this church. Why don't you come? This is a great moment. This is a great time. Somebody needs to get saved. Somebody needs to join this church. Why don't you come? You're without hope and without help because you're without him. He not only gives life, he is life. Today is a great day. Somebody today, the presence of God has already ministered to you. You know this is where you belong. You know this is where you need to be. Why don't you come today? Harden not your heart the day you hear the Lord's voice. What better decision to make at the top of the year than to come? Come on, why don't you come? Christ, church, or change?
Well, listen, we're out of time, but not out of truth. We pray something was said today that is going to change the trajectory of your life forever. If you have never met Jesus Christ before, now's a great time for you to get to know him. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died. Come into my heart. Make me new. I want to live for you. My brother, my sister, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to know that you've been saved. And him who the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen, if you want to learn more about our ministry or you want to give to support our ministry and help us to continue to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the world, then go to our website, www.mountmtzionla.org. That's www.mountmtla.org. We're so grateful to God that you have tuned in, and we hope that your life will forever be blessed. It's up from here.